23rd of September 2019, which corresponds to the 23rd of Elul, Tafshin Ayin Tes. We are at the end or the last day of learning together the 34th chapter in Bamidbar. There's not much in the 34th chapter of Bamidbar that we could really. It's the list of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael.
What?
Yeah, and then that is followed up by a mention of the heads of the Shvatim, the head of the tribes, those people that came up for negotiations. Who was at the table when they divided up the land of Israel? So that, or who was going to be? I'm not sure those people were. Those were the Shvatim, but this is, in theory, whoever fills the Nesiim, whoever fills those positions, is then going to be at the table. So something caught my eye. In fact, I even thought about maybe, I don't even know if we can do a Musar Day on this parak, but then something caught my eye. The parak opens up with Vayedbar Hashem Moshele Mor Tzavis Bnei Yisrael Yemar Talihem Ki Atim Boim El Eretz Canaan. That you're going to come to the land of Canaan. Zosa Aretz Asher Tipol Lachem Benachala. This is the land that will fall to you as a nachala. This is the land that will fall to you as a inheritance. Eretz Canaan Likvuloseha. The land of Canaan and for its boundaries. The boundaries surrounding the land of Canaan. So Rashi picks up on two things. One of them is into Rashi jumps in and says, what is the purpose for this? This isn't really what I want to speak about, but just an interesting Rashi. He says, Lefisha harbe mitzvos noagos ba'aretz ve'ein noagos b'chutz la'aretz, because there's a lot of mitzvos that are noag in the land and that are not noag outside the land. So hutzrach lichso mitzarchi gvulei ruchosah saviv. Therefore, you have to list off the boundaries in order to know which mitzvos, where the mitzvos are going to end. So this is, so the What's Bothering Rashi book points out that this is a major halachic Rashi. I mean, is it necessary? Can I have thought about a different pshat? I thought about, well, why is the Torah listed here? But to let us know where the land of Israel is going to be. But Rashi wants to make the point that there are halachic ramifications to that. So why is it such an imperative to Rashi to make that point? So it's just a regular Rashi rule. Rashi perhaps is the most halachic of all of the commentators on the Chumash. Rashi is the one with the perspective, of all of the commentators, why do we learn Chumash? So if you go to Rashi, Rashi says, in order to learn halacha. Now, there's plenty of parts of the Torah that do not represent halacha. He says, yeah, so Rashi has to almost find a reason why that's in also. But the main goal that Rashi has with regards to the Torah, interpreting the Torah, is recognizing it, first and foremost, as a halachic document. What is the greatest proof that is Rashi's perspective of approaching the text? Any thoughts on that? What would be the greatest proof? Can you think of a Rashi? I wouldn't just say, oh, can you think of a Rashi? It's a little hard to. A very famous Rashi, a very famous question of Rashi that seems to prove that this is his perspective. Yes?
Maybe in the beginning, why does you bring about the Maisa Bereishis?
Excellent! Yes! Because the very first Rashi. Yeah. Actually, it's really the second Rashi. But the very first, right, where Rashi quotes the question from his father. He says, I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. We don't know who Rabbi Yitzchak is necessarily. It could be his father. Where Rashi says, why is it that we're learning all of Sefer Bereishis? Why does the Torah not begin with Mishpatim? And he comes up with answers, right? Just to remind us that we have the land of Israel, and it could be that one day the nations world are going to come and say that you don't have a claim to the land. Can't imagine that. But somebody might say you don't have a claim to the land, and therefore you'll be able to pull out Sefer Bereishis and say, look at this, we do have a claim to the land. Right? And that's what Abba Ibn would do. He just pulled out Bereishis and read it out, and everybody read, now we understand that the Jews have a claim to the land. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. But anyways, but what is the premise of Rashi's question? The premise is that why are we doing this if not for the purpose of halacha? And then he needs to come up with answers for all the sections that don't have to do with halacha. So perhaps that's what's going on here as well. Rashi has to jump in and say, why do we care about the boundaries of the land of Israel? Because there are halachic ramifications to what the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are. So he discusses here the idea of mitzvos, a thing that we discussed over the last couple of weeks, is also in terms of claiming more land in order to be able, that there is perhaps a concept that in order for Bnei Yisrael to pursue more land, they have to be able to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael first, or actually as it's known here, the land of Canaan. The entire land of Canaan has to be recognized first, and then you can go out and conquer the rest. So how do you know what the land of Canaan is? You have to know the boundaries, and therefore that's the purpose of listing off the boundaries, which takes up much of the parak. But I want to get to another comment that Rashi makes in this pasuk, where he says, and it's really quoting from the Medrash, It says, this is the land, tipol lachem benachala, that is going to fall to you by way of inheritance. That's a little bit of a strange language. I mean, we do use that language in, like, colloquially. It's something will fall to me by inheritance. But why is that necessarily used in the Torah? Why can't it just say, v'zosa aretz asher lachem benachala? This is going to be your nachala. This will be your inheritance. What is the idea of falling? So Rashi says, well, Hashem shenechelka begoral nikreis chaluka lashon nefila. That because it's done by way of a goral, by way of a lottery, so therefore the language of that division is known as a nefila. Language of a goral is known as it somehow falls, uses that language. It's a little hard to. I'm not quite sure I get it. The only image that I really have are like those big lottery balls where you swing it around and around and around, and something calls that comes out on the bottom. I'm not sure why that is, especially the what's the goral most familiar to us in terms of our tradition? So Purim maybe, but what's the goral that we do? What? The Azazel, yeah. Right, that's...
We do that?
Well, the Kohen Gadol does it, but it's something that's incumbent upon us. I mean, we're commanded on how to do the Azazel. The Mishnah describes what happened. There was a box, right? It was on Yom Kippur, where you had two goats, and you're going to choose which one, the lot for which one. I think 2 years ago, we gave the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, or the rabbi in Beth HaMedrash gave the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha on the topic of the Seir Le'Azazel, and what's going on there, but I don't think he, and until today, I still don't think he really has a great explanation for the lottery. Like, why is that such an integral part of the mitzvah? But anyway, but there you're not having the lottery come down the bottom. You have the lottery come up, right? You have a box and you have the lots in the box and you take up. So I'm not sure why that the language is. By Purim he does. By Purim they do use the language of Nefila. I think I don't have it in front of me. I think the Sifsei Chachamim points out. I'm trying to that the language of falling is used next to the word Gorel in the third parak of. If I can figure it out, where in the third perek of where Haman actually chooses the lot, he says he peel poor hu hagral. I don't remember. All right, I saw it someplace. I don't have it in front of me right now. But anyways, the language of Nefila is used, so that's picked up on by the Medrash. So the Medrash says. Oh, I'm sorry. Rashi, the second half of Rashi is Medrash Hagada Omer Al Yedei Shehipil Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sareyim Shel Shiva Umos Min Hashemayim VeKaftan Lifnei Moshe. And that's the second half of Rashi. That because Hashem took the Sareyim, the officers who were the officer of the other 70 nations Min Hashemayim from the heavens, and placed them, kind of like rolled them up, had them fall in front of Moshe. So Amar lo re'ei ein behem od koach. And to say to Moshe, see that these other 70 nations, that they don't actually have strength anymore. So that's the language of Nefila that the Medrash is bringing down, that he brought down the other 70 nations, cast them in front of the Moshe and the Jewish people, and said, you see, there's really no, they don't have any more strength. So the Medrash embellishes that a little bit more. If I could find the spot here. Melishes it a little more. Zosar shetipol lachem benachala, this land will fall. V'chi aretz nofeles, does the land fall? The land doesn't fall. So rather, v'haloksiv v'aretz li'olam omedes. Right? We have a pasuk in Qelz that says that the land will always be there. Right? The land will always stand. So what does it mean? So ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, natal sar ha'aretz v'kaftu v'filu. If they have Hashem took the messenger in charge of the other lands, threw it in front of the Jewish people, ra nasan Hashem elokech levnechas ha'aretz v'chlifneim ha'isa el shehipil sarat. Did it actually fall in front of them? Rather that Hashem took their messenger and had the messenger, meaning the malach should fall in front of them. So this, the Ramchal picks up in Derech Hashem to describe the difference between Bnei Yisrael and the Umas Olam. And he says, V'nei b'shah shenechlaka olam kach, when Hashem created the world in this way, so sam HaKadosh Baruch Hu shivim pekidim misug hamalachi, sheyu ahim hamemunim ala umas ela. Hashem took the 70 officers from Malachim, that they would be in charge of these nations. Umashkifin aleihem, and they would take care of all them. Mashkichem al yaneihem, they would watch over them and take care of all their needs. V'hu yisbarach shemo. So what about Hashem? Right, Hashem is delegating. Hashem is taking His power, right, and delegating it to these 70 malachim who's going to look over the umas olam. So he says, Vasar hu v'hu yisbarach shemo lo yashkiach aleihem el bashkacha chalalis. But Hashem, He will only have hashkacha over them in a general way. V'asar hu yashkiach aleihem b'hashkacha pratis. And this malach would oversee them in the way of a hashkacha pratis. What is going on there? So we have this root, this idea out there about hashkacha pratis versus hashkacha klalis. Hashkacha means supervision, right? A mashkiach, supervision. So are you supervising in a general way, or are you supervising in a direct individual way? Right, so we assume that all of the mashkichim in our restaurants will have a shkacha pratis on all the food, all the things that go on there. But we also assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are, hopefully, merit hashkacha pratis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have distinct, Hashem is taking care of us in our own personal and distinct way. My nephew davens in a shul in Olney. That's where it is. Olney, right? It's right around Washington, D.C. So he dives into the shul there. And the rabbi, every week of Shalosh Shudas, asks everybody to, if anybody wants to present a Hashkacha Pratis story from the last week. And we could say about something that happened in the previous week that they felt this type of Hashkacha Pratis. That Hashem is caring directly for them. So what we're saying is, though, that with the other nations of the world, they don't get direct from Hashem, they get a malach, that there's a malach overseeing them, and who's caring for them in that particular way, and we get HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's actually the basis for a pasuk that appears in Amos, Rak eschem yadati mikom mishrachos adama, that I only know you from all of the families of the world. What does it mean, Hashem is speaking? I only know you, Hashem says, from all the other families. May I only know you in this particular, direct, connected, pratis, individual way, as opposed to the other nations and are not as so close. So he says, but don't think that it means that Hashem doesn't have tabs on them. Don't think that Hashem can't just, you know, punch up the database and find out everything that's going on with the non-Jews as well and know what their tally is. Everything's known to him. About Inu, the idea is that he's not watching over and taking care of all of their details. Right there, they're kind of coasting in a way. Well, we can experience hashkacha pratis. But that we have for us, and that will be discovered and declared a little bit as we move later on. So the Sifsei Chaim in the section of Emuna Hashkacha Chelek Aleph page Kuf Samach Beis. So it seems like he's giving a shir on the Derech Hashem, and he explains this in the following way. He says that the other nation, that they don't have this distinct thing, because what is their tafkid? But what is Bnei Yisrael's tafkid, and what is the non-Jews' tafkid? So Bnei Yisrael's tafkid is to be an Or L'Gayim, to be able to go out and teach the rest of the world, to go out and therefore about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be Hashem's representatives in this world, to go and teach Hashem's oneness and goodness and all of that to the rest of the world. So in order for us to be able to achieve that, we require Hashkacha Pratis. We require this direct and divine intervention so that we will be able to accomplish that mission. What's the job of the non-Jews? So A, it's to listen. Or B, it's to be able to provide the context for Bnei Yisrael to be able to accomplish that. The way he puts it here is, he says, "Ulam kol od shememalim tafkidam l'tzorach Yisrael, afa pi shechatu yish lem adayin zuchus kiyum." That their purpose is to serve the goals of the Jewish people. And therefore, even if they sin, they still have their zuchus. What is their zuchus? The fact that they're caring for the Jewish people. That it's not with the non-Jews that if they come closer to Hashem, they get greater hashpa. And if they go further away, they will have less influence. It's about how much are they fulfilling their purpose. And that's the way that they will get their influence, making sure that they're within the context of their relationship and their connection to the Jewish people. So along those lines, I actually saw here in the Yalkut Lekach Tov, which I didn't get a chance to read through the entire thing, but just the opening part, that on this parak, he quotes here from Yaakov Goldwasser, don't know, is Besifu Be'erus Yitzchak. He quotes the following idea. Actually, he's quoting a medrash. Lama zacha Kenan shenikras ha'aretz al shmo. Why is it that Kenan got merited that the land should be known according to their name? Right, and that's the way it is in this pasuk. It says, "Savas b'nei Zilay Marta Lehem ki atem ba'im el eretz Canaan." You're going to come to the land of Canaan. So why is it called the land of Canaan? Kevan sheshama sheyisrael ba'im pina samachem. This is once they heard the Jews were coming, they cleared out. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu atah pinisa es hamakom tikra aretz al shemecha. You cleared it out, so therefore we're going to call the land by your name. V'tein lecha eretz yafek karetzecha. And then you and you'll get a good land like your land. Vezozu Afriki. That apparently was Africa. I don't know. Apparently. So that's a medrash. See Gemara and Masechta Sanhedrin. Again, didn't get a chance to go into this. So he asks here, Madua Dafku Zancha Ozavesa Aris Yikra Shemo Aleha. He says, so why do we have that here? I mean, why are we specifically calling them at the moment where we're talking about them leaving? Right? We're talking about this is the land of Canaan which you're going to get, and you're going to clear them out, right? More than other places. But later, it's also called the land of Israel. So Shaul, so he asked this question. Right, that after they cleared out, the land is not called the land of Canaan. Rather, it's called the land of Israel. Right, ulahefach od b'zman Avram nikris aretz in the time of Avram was called that. It says vayevo aretz. It kind of says that eichim kein omer medrash mishum she'ozav es aretz tikra al shema. Why is it called that if it's way before they left the land? Rather, what he's saying is el kavanas hamedrash lomar shepenusu es aretz gila kanan lemafreya ki amlam ruuya haisli kariya shemo beis yashav. That because of them leaving, as the medrash is telling us that because they left when they were supposed to leave, they merited being called by their name when they were there. Right? They recognize our goal, our purpose is to hold the land, and when Bnei Yisrael is ready to come in, right? Bnei Yisrael is going to be able to come in and be able to conquer the land. It wasn't there a war?
Yeah.
That you're going to ask. Yeah. So I that's the part that I wanted to check in. Not everyone was confronted in war. Bnei Yisrael, the main wars they had were with the Amorites, not with the Canaanites. I'm afraid going further, because I'm not sure. I hear the kasha. I was wondering about it. I was going to try to figure out. I got to go back and check from Sefer Yeshua what exactly happened there. But that's at least that's what he says. Now I would add in mentioning a few times already. Right, the couple weeks ago, actually before Tisha B'Av, gave a shiur at in Shul about the Munkacher Rebbe, got a call from one of the descendants of the Munkacher Rebbe that made a couple of errors. It's not my fault, it's based on sources, whatever. So we've had a little bit of a correspondence the last couple of weeks. So last Friday, he has a son learning, this fellow, the grandson of Rav, the Munkacher Rebbe we spoke about, Rav Baruch Rabinowitz, as he has a so his grandson is the one I was speaking to. He has a son learning in the Philly Yeshiva. So it was convenient because they sent. I was able to get some mezuzahs and mezuzah cases sent down with him, and he also sent me a bunch, several svarim. So one of them is actually from his grandfather. He collected some of the shirim from his grandfather. He said, "I'll send it to you, but only if you actually read it." So all right, so I had to. So he sent it to me, so I had to read it on Friday night. So he actually has a sicha here from Parshas Kisavo. So that's what I last week's Parshas. So that's what he read about, and he discusses. He discusses a pasuk in this past week's parsha, which is an interesting question, where Hashem says, "Hayom liyos lecha lelukim ulechas bedrachav lishmorchu kav mitzvosav umishpatav lishmo bekolo vashem hamircha hayom liyos lo liam sugula kasher diver lecha lishmor kol mitzvosecha." Right? What is going on there? So there is a word there. There's a word that's a little hard to understand. Es Hashem hemarta hayom. So what does it mean that Hashem spoke today? Let's pull it up here. This is Devarim Perek Chavav Pasuk Yud Zayin. If you want to take a look, 26:17. It says, "Es Hashem Marta Hayom." So what does it mean? So the translation of the Ar Scroll is, you have distinguished Hashem today. Now, Marta sounds like Amar, said, right? The translation itself translates it as distinguished, right? Rashi, that's what Rashi says. Rashi on that pasuk says, "Hamarta ein lahem od mechiyach v'mekav li nirshu lashon hafrasha v'havdala." It's a language of separation going on there. So you separate things that are similar. So what are the things that are being separated? Lios lachal lekim v'lechas v'drachav li shmorchu kav mitzvosav v'shtav v'shmo v'kolo v'ashem ha'mircha hayom lios ol liam sugula kasher yibel kashor kol mitzvosach li tenal yon kol goyim asher asa. No, wait a second. Where was this piece here? he's quoting in Rashi. Habdata l'cha me'elokei nechar li'os l'cha le'elokim. That's what Hashem is saying. It's quoted in Rashi. That Hashem is saying, you're separating from the non-Jewish, you know, the other gods, and making me the god. So he builds the entire premise of this of, what does that mean? Right? Separating is separating things that are similar. If you're how could you compare Hashem to non-Jewish gods? Right? How does that work? What is that question? What is that separation taking place? If you're comparing things that are incomparable to one another. So there, he develops the idea that, and then doesn't actually get to the answer. He develops the idea of the distinction in terms of recognizing and serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the one hand, we serve Hashem from an inward way, what he describes as the Nasa V'Nishma way, the way of recognizing that all of our actions have to be intertwined with the desires of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. While non-Jews do it from a more seichel fashion, that it's not within them, rather it's external. Everything that is done is sort of because of an external need, whatever I need to appease, I need to take care of, I need to serve, but it's not internally, it's not inherently who they are. So at the end of these are taken from notes that he gave. It says Torah Sudas Shlishis Tafshin Dalet, which I think he quotes here in that note here that he gave this in Yerushalayim. So this must have been the period after or during. I'm not sure what the year Tafshin Dalet is. You got to do a little bit of math, figure out what that year is. But it took place right in the immediate aftermath or during the war when he was in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it seems to me that period was. Without actually doing the arithmetic to figure out when it was, but at the so these were his notes, which were then published by this fellow I've been in touch with, and then at the end he points out that it ends in the middle of a sentence because I lost the last page or the last couple of pages. I have the notes from his shir that he gave, but the last page fell away. So I could tell you, I think what he was then getting into is the way to answer the question is that what Rashi is separating between the way between God and other gods is not the separation of God and gods, but rather the recognition of God and other gods. That the Jewish perspective on a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inherent, that everything we do is intertwined with our action, is intertwined with our need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the other perspective of not necessarily having that connection. So that perhaps ties back to this distinction that is made by the Derech Hashem of that we have hashkacha pratis, because all of our actions are then connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to just say hashkacha klalis, that they have to figure out what they're going to. Yeah, they have to act accordingly in terms of assisting the Jewish people, etc. But are not going to be able to merit to the same type of hashkacha pratis, the individual connection that the Jewish people are merit to achieve. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll sign us up, and I guess we'll pick off from Mir Hashem with the next parak. No, tough iron dollar.